wide path leads to destruction, and lots of people will walk on it. But the road that leads to life is narrow, and only a few will find it. Jesus, please let the people who listen to this walk on the narrow road and find God in their hearts.
Welcome. This is the One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational Institute. It's a 501c3. Your host today, my name is David Gallner. Thanks for tuning in. And again, the name of our nonprofit, which is a 501c3, it's called Legacy Educational Institute. We're located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage, PA, 16148. You can write to me. You can send a donation. You go to our website, which is onewaytoheaven.com. If the Holy Spirit leads you, you can make a donation there. But the most important thing is we have some resources for you that you can either call and get at no charge. It won't pay shipping and handling, or you can stop by. So that's why I'm giving you the address. So we're located in Linden Point in a development called Legacy Financial Strategy, right off Route 18. So if you're heading south on Route 18, you'll pass Staples. Next traffic light, turn left. Innovation Way, there's a wall that says Linden Point. Fourth building on the left, about 200 yards from Route 18. Catacorner from Butler County Community College, known as BC3. There's two doors. When you pull in the driveway, you'll see a sign that says Legacy Financial Service, Innovation Tax Services, and Legacy Educational Institute. We also do another radio show on Saturday morning from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. That's an hour long. This one is a half hour. And you can go to the website called LegacyFinancialService.com, LegacyFinancialService.com. Click on the affiliate button, and you'll see six other websites, a total of seven. A lot of good educational information there, including Innovation Tax Service. But anyway, when you pull in the driveway, it doesn't matter what door you go in, we'll talk about these resources we have in both of those foyers. You don't even have to say hello, just help yourself, because our objective is to help fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, Acts 1:8. We don't do the convicting, the convincing, the converting, the saving. Our job is to tell. So please take this information, read it yourself, and then pass them on to others and say, look, I've read these. Would you do me a favor? What's that? Read these, because I value your opinion. So we'll talk about those resources a little in a moment. But again, the website's onewaytoheaven.com. OneWayToHeaven.com has our contact information. Our local number, if you'd like to call, is 724-983-1617. 724-983-1617. Our toll-free number is 800-264-4963. And my cell is 724-699-3789. So, what we're going to talk about on this is, if you are a believer, we're going to talk about the secrets. In fact, I talked to a gentleman I mentioned in my other show, a young fellow, but I thought, see, you never want to assume anything they're a believer. And he was really having doubts. And he said there was an age at 8, and he says, because I talked about the age of accountability, and he says he doesn't think he was old enough to respond. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. When you die, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? And you know what his answer was? He says, well, I hope heaven. There you go, the hope so. Why should he let you in? Well, I'm not really sure. He didn't think it was pretty good. He said, I'm not really sure. Now, the age, it doesn't really have anything to do with the chronological age. you could possibly be 6 or 5. For most people, probably not. But again, different people are different. But it's the age of accountability. If you die prior to that, and you're not age accountability, you'll be in heaven. But after that, there is an accountability. But there's many people out there, that's why I go through this every week, they profess, they don't possess. So we'll talk about that in a moment. But once you are a believer, you know, there's so many interpretations. Because one thing I say is, once you become a believer, you want to get plugged in a Bible-based, Christ-centered, family-oriented church. And what I go to is Truth and Grace Fellowship, 786 Karen Lane in Hermitage, PA. Their website's truthgracefellowship.com. Truthgracefellowship.com. They have two services on Sunday morning, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. And you can check it out, Facebook, Spotify, Apple, they're all over the place. You can listen to the messages. But you want to get plugged in, Christ Center, Family Oriented Church, start reading your Bible with the book of John, maybe Genesis, at least the first 11 chapters. All right, fellowship, prayer. All right, you never, ever arrive, folks. You never arrive. You have old nature, new nature. We'll talk about that secret. But you don't want the hope so. This guy had the hope so. But once you start reading the Bible, there's so many different interpretations. In fact, we had a gentleman in our church, every year he goes through the different ones. So why are, for example, newer translations of the Bible missing verses? If you ever think about that, is it possible? Well, if they're missing verses, well, what's up with that? Because the word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, right? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped to do every good work. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, right, was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:1 and John 1:14. So the question is, why is that? Well, the majority Greek text is the one I read, is the King James or the New King James Version, which I like. They have more of the majority Greek text. Now, the NIV, the Papyri, some of the older versions. So if you compare, for example, the King James, you know, has the D's and thou's, and the New King James Version, within the new translations, example, let's say you might have heard the NIV, that has the Papyri. English Standard Version, the Christian Standard Version, New Living Translation, you will notice that several verses are what? Entirely missing, totally missing from the newer translations. Let me give you some examples. Missing verses and passages are Matthew. You might want to write this down. Matthew chapter 17. Verse 21, John chapter 5, verse 4, Acts chapter 8, verse 37, and 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Another example is Mark chapter 16, verses 9 through 20, although that passage is always placed in the text in the footnotes. In addition to the few missing verses, there are numerous words and phrases that are missing from newer translations. So you might say, well, why did these translations omit these verses? You ever thought about that? Or maybe you weren't aware of that. Verses or phrases and words. And there are newer translations taking verses out of the Bible, as some claim. No, the newer translations are not removing verses from the Bible. Rather, the newer translations are attempting to accurately present what the biblical writers originally wrote. And that means what? Leaving out anything that was not part of the original text, any content missing in newer translation is believed that most scholars do not have been in the Bible to begin with. The King James Version, for example, translated A.D. 1611. That's the King James Version. The New Testament translators of the King James Version used a Greek manuscript, as I mentioned earlier, called the Textus, T-E-X-T-U-S, Receptus, fancy churchy word, R-E-C-E-P-T-U-S, which again is the majority Greek text. Since that time, many biblical manuscripts have been discovered that predate the Textus Receptus. And these older manuscripts, in theory, are, maybe, likely to be more accurate, maybe. In their research, Bible scholars and textual critics have discovered some differences between the Textus Receptus, which is the one I like, and the older manuscripts. Now, it seems that, you know, over the course of, say, 1,500 years or so, some words or, you know, phrases or even sentences were, yeah, added to the Bible, either intentionally or accidentally. The missing verses mentioned, I mentioned above, are simply not found in some of the oldest and most reliable manuscripts, like the papyri. So the newer translations remove these verses or place them in footnotes or in brackets because the translators believe they do not truly belong in the Bible. But remember, do not take a text out of a context and create a pretext. You must examine every verse on the subject in order to come up with a valid conclusion regarding doctrine. So, for example, in John chapter 5, verse 4, is included in the King James Version, but in the New King James Version, the verse has a footnote attached explaining it is not found in many Greek texts. The NASB includes the verse in brackets, and the NIV places the verse in the footnote. So, John chapter 5, verse 4 is missing in the actual text. The disputed portion is this: waiting for the moving of the waters, for an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in and was made well from whatever disease with which it was afflicted. That's in John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Here's the possible explanation of how John chapter 5, verse 4, end up in the Bible. A scribe is writing out John 5. This is a possibility now. We're not really sure. It was Jesus visited the pool of Bethesda. Here's a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been invalid for 38 years. That's in John chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. But then, the scribe gets to verse 7 as Jesus speaks to the man about his desire to be healed. And the man says what? I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. That's in verse 7. The scribe considers the man's reference to the stirred water as a source of possible confusion, as John does not expand on it. So the scribe writes a quick note in the margin to explain why the invalid was waiting for stirred water. An angel came down at a certain time to make something special happen. The scribe's notation was what? An attempt to aid you and I, the reader, understanding the scripture. But then, as more and more copies of the manuscripts were made, the scribe's marginal note was what? Transferred from the margin and inserted in the actual text as part of the passage. It may be that the later copy, the person who copied it, misconstrued the intention of the marginal note instead of being a commentary source. The note was seen as a scribe's attempt to what? Correct a mistake. Inserting a verse he had accidentally left out, thus what the scribe meant as a helpful gloss resolved in John chapter 5 by one of the verses. It is important to remember that verses in questions are a minor, you hear this folks, minor significance. None of them change any way the crucial themes of the Bible, nor do they have any impact on the Bible's doctrines. Jesus' death and resurrection, the main thing is the main thing. Christ being the only way of salvation. He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. I'm the Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Who do you say he is? D-God, a lunatic, or a liar? In the doctrine of the nature of God, these doctrines are preserved intact through the work of the Holy Spirit. So you're listening to the One Way Radio Network. When we come back, we're going to talk about a different topic altogether. The question is, are there differences between men and women's biology, and does the biology support that? I think you know the answer. It's like a given in geometry. So I want you to listen to a very important message.
Tax season doesn't have to be stressful or expensive. At Innovation Tax Services and Legacy Financial Strategies, they offer complete tax preparation for just $250. That includes your 1040, long form or short form, Schedule A, Schedule B, unlimited W-2s and 1099s, Schedule E for rental property and oil and gas income, and up to 10 trades on Schedule D. Your state return is included, and if you need a local return, it's just $10 more. Innovation Tax Services is conveniently located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage. They also provide tax planning and financial planning, so you're not just filing taxes, you're planning ahead. Visit them online at InnovationTaxService.com or give them a call today at 724-983-1617. Innovation Tax Services. Smart taxes, clear pricing, and peace of mind.
Welcome back. You're listening to One Way Radio Network, sponsored by Legacy Educational 2, which is a 501c3. And your host today, my name is David Gallner. I'm the founder and CEO of Legacy Educational 2. We're located at 3087 Innovation Way, Hermitage, PA 16148, a development called Linden Point. We're the fourth building on the left, catty corner from Butler County Community College, known as BC3. Our website is onewaytoheaven.com. That's where we post our past messages. You can check them out every week. onewaytoheaven.com. Not .org, but .com. onewaytoheaven.com. Our local number is 724-983-1617. Our toll-free number is 800-264-4963. My cell is 724-699-378. And I told you I'd mention some of these resources we're giving out. I only mention a few every week. We have a Case by Christ by Lee Strobel, Case for Christ. It's not the big, thick book, but it's very powerful. Remember, when you give this to a person, you want to pray for them, make sure you've read it, and says, look, I have read this. Would you do me a favor? What's that? Would you read this? And I'll get back with you. I really value your opinion. And then pray for that individual, because our objective is help fulfill the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, and Acts 1a. Again, as I mentioned almost every week, we don't do the what? The convicting, the convincing, the converting, or the saving. Our job is to tell. The Holy Spirit's job does the convicting, the convincing, the converting, the saving. Our job is to share the good news. Case for Christ. Biblical Answers About Heaven, Randy Elkhorn. It's not his 490-page book. You get goosebumps when you read that. It also has a great message. The $1 trillion bill and the $1 million bill. In fact, that gentleman who was in, I mentioned on the last segment, he wanted to know what the largest bill out there was. But then I went through the bill with him, because, like I said, he wasn't really sure. And he says about the Ten Commandments, have you broken any of the Ten Commandments? He says, I don't think so. I said, do you know the Ten Commandments? He didn't. Then I went through a few. Oh, yeah, I've committed a lie. I've committed lust, adulterous. Yep, I've taken the Lord's name in vain. So he's a lying, thieving. I went through all that stuff. He said, yeah, I've broken a lot of those. It's amazing that you say, well, you can't assume that people know this. So a great way is to show that we're sinners. And the secret to spending eternity in heaven, I told him, you don't want to hope so, because he was hoping to be in heaven. You don't want to hope so, you want to know so. The hope so is a pride issue. There is no salvation without brokenness. So step number one, to recognize or realize you're a sinner, You have to humble yourself. James 4:10 says you must humble yourself before he'll lift you up. Those who humble themselves will be exalted. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled. That's Matthew 23:12. So humble, then repent. What do I mean by repent? Recognize you're a sinner. That's falling short anything of God's standard. The Bible is very clear. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Compared to a righteous, holy God, you and I are filthy rags. So some people don't seem to understand that, so I cut through the chase. We're scumbags. Yes, I am. You should say the same thing. Compare to a righteous, holy God. Think about that. We are scumbags. So recognize you're a sinner. So 2 Corinthians 7:10 says you have to repent. There is no salvation when you repent. That's that godly sorrow. So repent, then believe Jesus Christ is the God, deity, hypostatic union, fully God, fully man. Believe, because a lot of cults believe he's a God, not the God, then receive, and then the Lordship has become more like him. We never will. You got to die to self daily. You have old nature, you have new nature. So that is the secret of spending eternity in heaven. You don't want to hope so, you want to know so. Many, many people out there profess, but they don't possess. God wants all to come to repentance. Many people are called, but few are chosen, and God foreknows who's coming to him. So men and women are what? Different biological supports their different roles. When I moved a little over 2 years ago, I was cleaning some things out, and I found my birth certificate. And guess what it said on the birth certificate? I was born a male. In the beginning, God created heavens and earth, male and what? Female. Yes, your DNA is your DNA. My undergraduate degree is at Youngstown State University, and one of the courses that I took at Youngstown State, because my degree is in psychology, was abnormal psychology. I wonder if they even offer that course anymore. People are distorting the twists in the Bible, and they have no clue because they never read it. So the question is, once you humble, repent, believe, and receive, and become, get plugged in a Bible-based Christ Center, family, or church, start reading your Bible, prayer, fellowship, Bible study. All right, so can men get pregnant? Of course they can. That shouldn't be a discussion. We have close to over $8 billion, $8.2, $8.3 billion. No, men cannot get pregnant. It's a simple question that any person should immediately know the answer to. However, and by the way, this is taken from the Institution Creation Research, Ken Ham is dynamite. So he's writing about this. However, when Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri, who's a believer, asked the question of the OBGYN, Dr. Nisha Verma, she has on the answer. She said she treats people with different entities, meaning gender entities, and did not directly answer him. Senator Hawley further clarified his question, asked her to answer based on science, and stated he was referring to biological men. But each of the 12 times he posed the question, can men get pregnant? You know what she said? She refused to give a yes or no answer. How we've gotten to the place where a physician that specializes in women's reproductive health is not willing to assert the biological reality that no, men cannot get pregnant, only who? Women can. Simple answer. People deny God's authority word. They have no shame. None whatsoever. That's why you better humble first. They have a pride issue. And there could be a part was when God hardened Pharaoh's heart, before he hardened it, it was already hard. So there's a point where there's no return. We don't always know when that is. So we're always to pray for people. They deny the creation account in Genesis. Again, the first step is what? Fear of God. Reverence, respect. They have none. He created in the beginning male and female. Check it out in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. They deny what? God joined Adam and Eve. Marriage and told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and chapter 2 in Genesis, verse 24. They deny that God gave unique roles to men and women within marriage. They deny that Adam named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living. They deny confirmation of the creation of male and female and God's design for marriage. As a result, the denial, they are willing to deny the very biological reality that God created. They exchange the truth by God for a lie and did what? And worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. Who's that creature? Satan. Their father is Satan. Demonic. As a result of denial, they are willing to do what? Again, the very biological reality that God created. Shame, shame, shame. And Ken Hansen, I discussed biblically how men and women are created equally in God's image, but do what? Display that image in unique ways. He said, I showed genetically that we're unique from our sex chromosomes to ribosomes and even our gene activity. He said, I also related how those differences might help us fulfill the unique functions that God designed for men and women. And in part two, he says, I want to what? Observe the outcomes of those genetic differences as we look at some of the anatomical and physiological distinctions between men and women. We will once again see that God's design for men and women is indeed purposeful. The primary reason for all these anatomical and physiological differences is the types and levels of sex hormones, example, testosterone, estrogen. Those hormone levels are controlled by the primary sex organs, and their formation is controlled by the sex chromosome, with males being XY and females being XX. Your DNA is your DNA. The differences don't make one sex superior to the other, just differences and unique is made by God. So I'm running out of time because I spent a lot of time on the last segment. But again, we want to pray for everybody. Don't give up. God wants all. We don't know who, but there could be a point where there's no return, but we don't know that. So I don't know the day or the hour, but Matthew 24 talks about at the door. So it could become quicker than we think it is. But again, we need to get busy. Matthew 28:19 and Acts 1:8. So help us do at least part of it to help fulfill the Great Commission. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week. And remember this, this is the day the Lord had made. Rejoice and be glad in it.
Tell each other secrets.